Andy, how's it going?
It's going, yeah. As we get closer to football starting, there's always a little bit more anxiety probably creeping into my voice, but things are coming together, feeling really good about it all. And I think as I was saying in the other episode, it's a forcing function to focus, because when that deadline is looming, you just got to cut everything that doesn't matter. So in that sense, it's been a bit freeing where it's made it much easier. It's like, okay, we can't do that right now. We can't think about that. So that's been really helpful. How are things on your end?
They're good, man. It's been a really busy week. Our two AEs, our two sales folks, started on Monday. We're recording this on Wednesday. And so it's just been a lot. It was a lot the few weeks leading up to them getting on board with just getting processes and procedures and documentation about how we do sales currently kind of set. And then they come in and a lot of that has been really helpful. And then they kind of blow up some of it too, which is like what sales, what good employees of any kind do. And certainly salespeople is just say, well, yeah, but like, that's just not how I want to do, prospecting. And so we start looking at different tools and different ways we do it. But it's really, really fulfilling so far that both Chad and Michael have come in with new ideas and new ways they want to do things, and they want to take ownership. And like, that's really, really, really great. Like, it's been a really pleasant surprise that just on the first or second day, they're already challenging in a really positive way, kind of the status quo that we have. That's what any kind of good senior team member should do. And especially salespeople, I think, is just like, hey, let's come in and stir the chili. And they have been. So it's been good.
Nice. Well, how, I know we've talked about it before, but what does, at a high level, what does the onboarding process look like as far as the things that they're going to be working on in the order and roughly how long you're expecting that to take?
Yeah, I mean, so we sell two things. One is the Castos production service, and that's pretty easy to understand. I guess within that, we have like the regular ongoing service. So, you send us the episode, we edit it, show notes, marketing assets, all that stuff, publish it. And then there's like the launch services. So we have a couple launch services that are starting at like $2,500. The regular services are really easy to understand. And like, we have enough recorded sales calls for them to really, and like a proper script that they could almost do it at the end of this week, probably. Because we have a couple of calls a day already. We just have inbound interest. And so there's enough velocity there to where they're hearing the same words. The launch service is kind of like this dynamic thing where we're kind of changing the pricing and packaging there kind of all the time, trying to move up market. And so that's a little more difficult for them to really understand. And then the private podcasting stuff is really like a lot of their focus is more on like demand gen and prospecting, like building up that pipeline. And so talking a lot about ICP, like ideal customer persona and messaging, and then looking at tools like we're using Lemlist for email outreach, but also looking at like, should we be using Salesloft or should we be using outreach.io? And how does that integrate to HubSpot? And just all the term is sales enablement. So kind of like tools to auto reps work so that he can go and seem like he's connecting with a bunch of accounts, but it's just one or two people. That's kind of where we are. And, it's kind of taking those inbound leads for the production stuff and converting as many of them as we can and trying to kind of move up market constantly and then really building the pipeline for the private podcasting stuff.
Yeah. So it'll be a busy few months as you work them through that. And then the goal is really just to not completely step away, because you'll still act as a head of sales in some degree, but to not be involved as much in the day-to-day, right?
Yeah, and it's really refreshing. Like, I think we've talked about EOS, or OKRs or whatever. And like, they brought it up on the first day. They're like, how do you like track metrics for the sales team? And we're like, of course we don't, because it's just been me. And they both said, okay, we ran OKRs at our previous companies and we really got to like it. So like, we'd like to set that up and start tracking that stuff, knowing that there's no baseline so far, but just to start being able to see month over month, how number of touches and calls booked and conversion rates and stuff like that all look. So that was like super surprising in a good way that like they raised their hand and said, like, we want to have this like level of accountability and data-driven kind of reporting. The sales personality, and like the role lends itself to being performance-driven more than, maybe someone on like the support team or developer that has a harder time, and we have a harder time kind of quantifying their contribution. So, yeah.
Nice. Well, that's super exciting. That is something where as someone who hasn't really done sales or worked in a company with a strong sales organization to begin with, it's from the outside, it seems as though that's one of the missing pieces that you see in companies that can plateau is they don't have that strong sales organization internally. And then it just gets really hard to grow as you hit some levels of scale. And so I feel like once you get that figured out, that just adds more fuel to the fire to keep the growth going.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you look at these hyper growth companies and almost all of them have some element of sales driven growth. Very few. I think I'm sure people will disagree. And if you do, please send us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com. I think very few of them are just entirely kind of self-service marketing driven.
It's partly, I mean, you're just leaving money on the table. You can get very far with a bottoms up approach with sales. If you look at Tuple, you look at Slack, you look at Atlassian, all those kind of platforms. But you still, as companies get bigger, as clients get bigger, it's just obvious that having someone help move the process along is going to make things easier and help you continue growing. And purely self-serve might be the dream, but and a lot of companies do it and are very successful with that, but you just hit a ceiling. I just think you have to, yeah. Because you can't be consultative. You can't help people figure out the best way to use it. So whether it's helping get more trials converted or helping those customers be successful and stay customers or both, having some human element in sales is always going to make a difference, in my opinion.
One of the things that we don't have an answer to yet, but is on our radar is like everyone's heard of like product-led growth. And I think that's like, you know, the product does the marketing for you. It's free or freemium or has a free tier. People go in and get value and then kind of want to grow and upgrade from there. And now there's, you know, product-led sale. So people coming in and somehow becoming like a product qualified lead for the sales team that then kind of puts them into a sales process as opposed to more of a self-serve.
Does that mean they've done certain actions in the app so you know they're at least committed to a certain level to make it worth reaching out to them?
Yeah. So like if you're a website hosting company, it's like page views, you know, and for us, it's like downloads or number of podcasts or something like that, or that they've enabled private podcasting maybe to where like we want to have a conversation with these individuals that have taken a certain step to where to us that kind of puts them in the, you know, whatever kind of premium, or they have the potential to be like a premium level customer. And yeah,
are you doing any of that now?
No, we're not doing any of it. And there are really big companies that is right. Their only sales pipeline is someone comes in, like ChartMogul, for example. You go in, you connect ChartMogul to Stripe, and they are able to see like, hey, you have, you know, this much revenue. We should probably talk to you. Or you're just getting started. You have $500 of MRR. You can kind of continue on the self-service kind of path. And so like, we're just trying to translate that to our world to where we can kind of fill up these guys' pipeline with, you know, high value customers that come in pretty organically through the product.
Yeah, no, that just makes sense where it's okay. You have metrics that you can use to identify success. And I mean, obviously downloads alone isn't a perfect proxy for it, but it's pretty good where like, I'm sure there are lots of podcasts that get a lot of downloads and don't make any money, but the more downloads you're getting, the more likely you are to be willing to spend, but also you're going to have different needs. And it really goes back to the consultative approach of saying, okay, like you have different needs than our typical customer. How can we help you with those needs?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How does that fit into your overall sales strategy? Because you're talking about you're getting a lot of inbound, you're experimenting with outbound, and then there's this other channel of just identifying, I guess, it's not outbound, but it's targeted outreach to your customers, more success stuff. How do you balance all of that? Or how will you?
Yeah. So a lot, like upfront, a lot of the work is on me and Matt and Sam probably to say like who, like what events or what types of behaviors constitute somebody to become like a product qualified lead. And like I touched on a couple of them. And then it's just a matter of, you know, getting those piped into something like HubSpot for us to have the sales folks, you know, for these customers to be on their radar. And then they should be getting on the phone with them and trying to figure out what they need and make sure that we're providing that. And if we're not, you know, servicing that to like the product team to say like, hey, we're hearing a lot of these kinds of customers needing this thing that we don't currently have. I think the question is, like, in terms of things like comp plan, you know, and how they're in, how the sales folks are incentivized, is like, where does that fit if it's for like conventional hosting? Because, like, not to get too like in the weeds, but like currently we don't have like sales of conventional hosting as like a thing on the comp plan. It's basically like the Castos production stuff and private podcasting. And so if we do start getting a bunch of product qualified leads for conventional hosting, we need to start, you know, compensating the reps for taking those calls and you know, having those inbound leads and taking them through like a medium touch funnel.
Do you have some enterprise-y plan for the conventional hosting? Or is it just basically the pro one on your site?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we're going to be updating soon, like the first of the month. It is to have some more, not hard, but firm, maybe, limits around like numbers of downloads that can kind of exist in our conventional tiers. So right now it's like unlimited everything. And then there are some people that really just blow that out of the water. And it's unfair for us to go to them and say like, hey, you know, you have 5 million downloads this month and you're paying us $20 a month. Like, that's just not cool. And so, yeah, that's going to be part of it, is customers will be able to kind of elevate their pricing plan based on downloads in the near future.
Where does the cold outreach fit into everything? Is that something you've experimented with in the past and had success?
Yeah, the cold outreach will be just for private podcasting and mostly just for companies.
And have you done it before? Is this an entirely new experience?
Yeah, we did it in the first quarter and with like we did with the outsourced SDR agency and got a lot of activity. It didn't turn into any customers, but had, you know, several to a handful of calls a week with that. And so trying to kind of replicate, you know, that structure, but just with the AEs managing, you know, sourcing the leads, communicating with them, you know, email and LinkedIn, following up, booking calls.
What's the motivation behind moving that internally? Like, if there was an agency that could generate the activity, why now replicate that yourself with new people?
Yeah, we talked about this like a couple weeks ago, I guess. I think part of it is like these guys, I feel like they need to just understand the customer and the language the customer uses and stuff like that. Part of it is like budget and runway that like I kind of just don't want to spend another headcount worth of money on that. It was expensive for what they did. And so like if our AEs can take a day of their week and achieve the same thing in terms of hours, then I think it's a win. And they're just closer to it and they can split test, you know, email sequences and stuff like that just much more quickly and readily than the agency could, because the turnaround time for anything there was a week. So
right. And they'll be able to own the copy is going to be better, the language, all that, because they really own that. But when balancing that against having to spend a day a week on reaching out and upgrading existing customers, what leads you towards saying, okay, we should spend this time on outbound versus trying to upgrade the current ones? Or are they able to do both and handle inbound as well?
We don't know, I guess, is the answer. But yeah, I hope they'll be able to do all of it with a kind of weighted preference on like private podcasting being the first thing, you know, like building pipeline and closing as many of those deals as we can, because that's the real kind of enterprise thing. Second, probably moving conventional customers up in the pricing plans, because that's, you know, that's good growth. And then the production stuff and the launch services there are good and kind of take those as they come inbound.
Okay. Yeah, because from my perspective, it's like if you look at the riskiness and the payoff of the different things, the outbound is the highest risk, in my opinion, in that you've experimented with it and you saw some traction, but it didn't lead to results yet. So again, I'm sure it can, but that'll take some more time to figure out and all that. Whereas you have private podcasting subscribers, you have podcast production subscribers. So you know those things are working and you've had inbound leads turn into those. So you know, okay, if we can just get this process off of my plate, off of Matt's plate, off of Sam's plate, onto the AEs, that's a big win. But I think the big part is that how do we make more money by providing more value to the high number of subscribers that we already have. And that's the pricing stuff by figuring out what is an enterprise plan or just what is a $200 a month plan, something like that. Because you wouldn't want to jump all the way to the enterprise if you're leaving some significant growth from the core customers right now on the table, because you have that machine humming along pretty well where you've got a ton of leads coming in, they're converting on their own, and then you have a team now that they could get alerts when, hey, this podcast just reached X episodes, where we could just say, hey, are you familiar with private podcasting, or with podcast productions? Like, do you want to get this off your plate? Because I think even some hobbyists probably are willing to spend the money to not do it themselves, and they've committed to enough. They know it's a pain in the ass, might not want to do it. But then also it's like the higher downloads. We have these other plans that might be a better fit for you, something like that. That's the challenge, is there's always so many pieces to optimize. There's always so much to work on and figuring out, all right, what do we have the bandwidth for? What matters the most? But yeah, that's just some random musings from my side of the conversation.
Yeah, and I think just the thing that we're thinking about there is that there's a difference between effort and where that's spent right now and results. You know, like effort for prospecting and building pipeline for private podcasting is going to be a bunch of effort and not a lot of results this week, you know, whereas inbound interest for the Castos production stuff is almost no effort and a lot of results, hopefully, this week. And I think we're trying to balance the expectations for them of like, hey, this is where you're going to make your money in the first, you know, quarter, you know, is on the production stuff because it's already there. But if we look at, you know, the end of the year or this time next year, this is where we want to be. And so we have to make the efforts disproportionately to where we're seeing the results right now, which is kind of tough and confusing, but that's the dance.
Yeah. It seems like sales compensation is, there are structures that I feel like people can say objectively don't work, but then finding the things that do work, it is one of those situations where it seems as though most companies are at least a little bit different, and there's going to be different nuances to figuring out. And it just seems like an iterative process, but it sounds like you got the right people on board who are willing to iterate through that with you.
I think so. Yeah. So you guys are getting close to a big release of your own, right?
Yeah, it's been a very long time coming, and that could be an entire episode in itself of how would we do the redesign differently? How do we prioritize all of that? But at this point, though, we are getting very close to pushing it across the finish line. We have, I don't know, a very small handful of people beta testing it right now, and I'm recording this on Wednesday, August 18th. So tomorrow on Thursday, we're going to do a reveal of the redesign during office hours, focus really on the new functionality and how it makes building winning lineups easier, how it gives customers more control, more power, all the things that they've been asking for. So very excited about that. And the plan then is call to action at the end, where they can send a message to Jordan, the SaberSims head coach, in Slack and ask to get in the beta, open that up for a couple weeks, assuming nothing major pops out at us, then roll that out to new customers.
All right. Well, I think that wraps us up for today. It's a bit of a shorter episode, but we have a whole another big topic that we'll discuss here in just a bit and share that in the episode for next week. So as always, if you're enjoying the show, please share it with someone who you think would enjoy it as well. And if you have any questions for Andy or I, shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.